You guys may have noticed I put on some glasses this morning, yes. Calling them my preaching glasses. Yeah, yeah. I have noticed, huh?
Not fake.
Oh yeah, they're not fake. I do need them. I've needed glasses since I was young. I can't see any of you guys right now, but now I can. So yeah, I always wear contacts, but I've been trying to get in the habit of having good eye hygiene. I have not always been that way. The other day, a few months ago, I took my contact out and saw an imprint of the contact. It still looked like I had a contact in. So I said, yeah, we're going to stop doing that. So yeah, once on my days off, I wear these, but now I'm going to wear them here. I've noticed a considerable difference as far as the level of respect that I'm getting today. The way people are looking at me is more like, he might have something to say. People are calling me sir. Sir, now I realize as I'm looking around, a lot of you are wearing glasses, and I know why now. I know why. Well, that's only half of it. So, but it is different. There's a different feeling. It's almost like people see a different Steve now. It's the same guy here, okay? I'm gonna have, yeah, Steve. Yeah, this is sophisticated Steve, okay? Yeah. So, enjoy. No, I'm joking. All business right now. I'm actually trying to burn some time. Feels like it's early in the service. Got to burn some time. I mean, look, we got... Hold on. One, two and a half scrolls. That's about 35 minutes. So we'll see how we're doing this morning. Yeah. Okay. Let's get on with it. Yeah. Well, jokes aside, I do have a word this morning. I take it pretty seriously, this idea of getting to come up here and the Lord preparing a word for you guys. Preparing a word for us. And to equip us, to prepare us. That's why just about every week I'm praying, Lord, open my heart. I want to receive what you've prepared for me. So let's go to 2 Colossians 2. 2 Colossians 2, we're starting at verse 6. This is Colossians, sorry. I put 2 Colossians. We are going to 2 Corinthians at some point. So that's probably where it came from. Saved myself. Man, okay, these glasses aren't working so well now. Gotta clean them up a little bit. Can't be making errors like that when you have the glasses on. Apparently, you guys still catch them just as fast. Verse 6 starts and says this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. We're focusing on this walk in him. Paul gives us two pictures of what it looks like to walk in him. I'm going to let you know something. It is not a checklist. It does not look like walking with Jesus is doing X, Y, and Z, and then you're good for the day as long as you don't get too crazy. Now, walking in Christ looks like you're rooted and built up. These two pictures, they're used frequently throughout Scripture. Jesus uses them a lot. Paul uses them a couple times. Rooted, to be planted, kind of gives us this image that you are sunken in. It's where you're getting your life from. It's where you're getting your nutrients from. And built up, this idea of a firm foundation, solid, unmoving. These two pictures help us understand what it is to walk in him, what it is to walk in Christ. This is the manner in which we walk in Christ, rooted and built up. This is how we live out our faith. When I wake up in the morning, rooted in Christ is how I eat. It's how I love my family. Rooted in Christ is how I do my chores and relax. Rooted in Christ is how I come in fellowship with you guys. Rooted in Christ is how I worship. Rooted in Christ is how I live. rooted. You guys are following? Yeah? We're actually going to sit on this, I think, for the next couple weeks. Give Eric a little bit of a break. Come up for the next couple weeks. So we're just laying the foundation this morning. Rooted, walking in Him. Our roots in Christ matter. Our roots in Christ matter. It's not just that we call Him Savior and have roots that just kind of chill on the surface. Now that we're kind of hovering over Christ, we know where to find and locate Him. But that we have healthy, deep roots. Healthy, deep roots. Mainly focusing on the healthy. Healthy roots. Rooted and built up, firm and unmoving. This is how we walk in Christ. This is where I get my life from. This is where I get my strength. And you can use this cute little thing. Roots determine fruits. Yeah, I thought it was cute. When we are planted in the soil that will nourish and protect us, then we will thrive and produce many fruits. Listen, you guys know that I love talking about lawns. I love it. Lawns alone. Plants are okay? That's kind of Eric's field, okay? But I'm specific lawns, okay? And when I approach a lawn and I'm looking at the health of a lawn, what I'm actually curious about is I'm curious about how the roots are doing. That's what I'm actually curious about. In fact, I carry a little makeshift probe with me so I can punch it into the ground, pull it up, and see how those roots are doing. How deep are they? What is the soil that they're embedded in like? When God looks at His people, He's looking at your roots. He wants to know where they are. He wants to know how healthy they are. They want to know how entrenched they are. When God looks at His people, He's looking for the roots. The roots to tell us a lot of things. It could tell us how well the plant is doing. Because everything we see on top is a product of what's going on underneath, right? We know this. I brought some plants with me this morning. I decided this morning I was going to stop by Lowe's, pick up some plants. This plant here was pulled out. That's a nice little root ball, right? Beautiful, beautiful plant. Nice root ball. Look how it just, it hugs onto the soil that it's in. It grabs onto it. And I tried to, with this one, remove the soil from the roots. I tried to remove the soil from the roots. Kind of worked, kind of didn't, but it gives you an idea. In fact, the longest root that I found in here earlier was about just as tall as the plant. Just in length down, it was just as tall as the plant. These look, I actually don't know about this specific plant. I don't know if these roots are healthy or not. But I would assume, Sue, they're healthy roots. Perfect, they look healthy. Yeah, healthy roots. Look like your beard, yeah. Yeah, God's curious about your roots. Yeah, not about your beard. God's curious about your roots. He wants to know what's going on down there, where you're planted. Because some of us go through life and we're curious about why the heck our life doesn't look the way that Scripture says it should. Why the heck are the fruits that we want not being produced? And it's because of our roots. Fruits and roots, there's a correlation between the two, right? Now, if you're over here complaining about, oh, my life is kind of like not really, it's looking like it's a bunch of chaos and things just are crazy and where is God in all this? And you're like, well, this isn't going right, this is going right. Well, you may be curious to find out, well, it may be because you're sitting in a pot of oil. You're sitting in a pot of sludge and your roots, there's no life there. There's nothing for it to grab onto. But you're like, well, Stephen, I am walking with Christ. So why the heck are you talking to me about this? I'm rooted in Christ. What I want to talk about this morning are healthy roots. Healthy roots. And how do we maintain our roots in Christ? I believe that God is calling His people to form deep, healthy, more intimate, and focused relationships with Him. A relationship with Him. want you to understand this. Strong, healthy roots mean the plant is thriving, yes, and that it can thrive. But it also means that it can survive attack. Healthy roots mean that it can survive attack. Around here, the reason why I'm curious about lawns, how deep the roots are, is because I'm like, okay, I need to know whether or not this lawn is going to survive the attack of the heat of the summer. Is going to survive the heat of the summer, and the strength of the roots can help me understand what I need to do in preparation for that attack. Unhealthy and shallow roots leave the plant vulnerable to attack. And so the question that has really been pressed on me is, am I vulnerable to attack? Am I an easy target? Am I going to be easily uprooted? How strong and healthy are my roots? This is a question for us to ask ourselves, but this is a question that we're going to have to go to the Lord for and ask, Lord, examine my roots. Are they healthy? Are they strong? Are they well embedded? Can I survive attack? God is calling his people to form deep relationships with him, healthy relationships with him, in order to stand as his church in the midst of a broken world, calling his church to be a church that can withstand attack in order that his name may be glorified, in order that he may use his people to redeem, to bring life, and to bring light and hope to the hopeless who wander in darkness. But we need healthy roots. We need healthy roots. I have a lot of thoughts in my head about this. It's like the Lord is flooding me with thoughts. And that's why I think we're going to take a couple weeks in this. Because there's this question is, how do we form healthy roots? We've said yes to Christ. We're here worshiping him. But how can we ensure our roots stay healthy? Every goal has a process in which we can achieve it. You can't just wish for it or have intentions of getting it. You have to do what is required to achieve the specific outcome. Oftentimes, I get the pleasure, of course, of working with the students, and sometimes they come and they help me out. Any of you guys asked for the students to come help you before? Clean your gutters, mow your lawn? None of you? They're open to doing it, right, students? You're open to helping church here, okay. You guys call them anytime, okay? But every now and then I'll go and I'll say, hey, I need you to go do this. They'll come back 2 minutes later. Yeah. 2 minutes later, I'm done. I go and look and I say, well, you're not done. You got to do it this way. So I walk away. They go back. They do it. They work hard at it. They come back sweating. Okay, I really am done this time. I go back and check. And this is where they get frustrated because they put all their effort into it. But the problem is they didn't do what I asked. And so they didn't accomplish the goal that I wanted them to accomplish. But they're all frustrated because they put all this work in. They're sweating and they're tired. I got them up in the attic in the middle of summer. They're dying up there. And they're saying, you mean I got to go back and do it? Yeah, because you didn't do it. You didn't do what I asked you to do. You didn't accomplish the goal. Well, I tried really hard, Steve. Well, I'm really glad that you tried really hard. Let's focus that effort in things that are actually going to achieve the goal. And I think this is where we get frustrated a lot of times. We see ourselves doing all of this work, all of this effort. How many of you guys have said this before? You're just like, I put in all that effort for nothing. Put in all that effort for nothing. And that can be a really true statement. Put in all that effort for nothing. And it's because whatever we were doing, whatever we were up to, whatever area we were expending our energy wasn't actually going to help achieve the goal. So when it comes to forming healthy roots, we need to ensure that we are doing things that are actually going to help us achieve the goal. Or else that's where you get into areas where you meet upset, mad Christians. They just seem worn out and bogged down because they feel like they've been putting in all of this effort and nothing's coming out of it. We don't want to be believers who claim to walk with Christ but have weak, struggling roots. This usually happens, these weak roots form, typically when we fool ourselves into thinking that we can boil our faith down to daily checklists, or down to feeling good, or down to looking put together. Look at all I did today. My roots have to be healthy. I feel great. My roots must be healthy. Look at how well my life is organized. My roots must be healthy. When we boil our faith down to checklists or feelings, which all have their place, but when we try to boil it down to just those things, we fool ourselves into thinking that we are not vulnerable to attack and that we have healthy roots. Is this making sense? Yeah. Healthy roots, and here it is. And this is where we're going to sit this morning. Healthy roots in Christ form when we live according to God's truth. Living according to God's truth is the key to forming healthy roots. Let's look at this. Colossians 2:8. This is right after Paul, that 6 through 7, where he's saying, walk, rooted and built up, established in the faith. Right after that, he says this, and he actually says this before as well. He sandwiches that rooted in between this phrase and another one like it. And he's saying, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Be wary of false truth. Be wary of these fanciful ideas that are out there. Be wary of anything that calls itself truth but is not God's truth. Live rooted and built up. Live walking with Christ. And as you do so, make sure that you don't become a victim to false truths, because nothing stunts our root growth faster. Paul is directly addressing the false ideas and philosophies that try to grab the attention of believers. Our world is filled with false ideas, always has been. It's not anything new. It may just seem more predominant today. It may seem like really ridiculous, especially because it feels like people are saying more and more ridiculous things more and more openly and have more and more of a following. People gain fame based on being the leader of these false ideas these days, gathering these huge followings. And it feels like sometimes it's impossible to talk logic to them. But we can't just walk around as if we're the enlightened ones, that we can't walk around as if we can't also fall victim to that if we're not careful. Say, watch out. See to it that no one takes you captive. We are surrounded with a buffet of have-it-your-way styled ideas and philosophies designed to sound rational and fit individual preference. Guess what? If you have an idea of the way you want your life to look and feel, you have a list of things that you want to do and no more, guess what? The world has a nice cookie-cutter idea for you, a philosophy to live your life by. Problem is, it's never going to be God's truth. Paul's saying, watch out, because they appeal to us as individuals. Eric always says, you know, he harps on people, and it's really hard for me because I feel like I'm the one that says this the most. I feel like he's talking directly to me because he probably hears me say it a lot, is, well, my thing is, he says that a lot. He harps on people a lot, one of his pet peeves. Well, when people say my thing is, to me, and that's exactly what Paul's saying. It's like, hey, there are ideas out there that are designed specifically for you to appeal to your sense of rationale and logic, but they're false. They're lies. Live your truth has become this generation's mantra. Live your truth. In fact, I read it, and I didn't put it in my notes, but in 1 Timothy 6, I should just look for it real quick so I don't misquote it. Thessalonians, 1 Timothy 6, Paul is saying this to Timothy. He says, oh, Timothy, and this is 6:20, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Same people are going out there calling this false babble knowledge. People are going out there calling these lies truth. And this makes sense. It actually does, because lies are the main weapon in Satan's arsenal. When he comes to attack, it's lies every single time. This is why right after talking about being rooted in Christ, Paul warns against lies. Living according to God's truth means understanding the enemy is out to lie to you, he's out to stunt your root growth, and he's out to uproot you altogether. And he does it using lies. We know that Eve encountered such a challenge. Came up to her, hey, did God really say this thing about this tree, not to eat of it? And why did he say that, in fact? And what kind of God is he to say that, actually? We started getting this lie in there. She started, you know what? This sounds good. I like where this guy's going with this. Maybe I'm going to lean into that a little bit. And a lie was able to uproot her altogether, both her and Adam. Satan offered her a false truth as to why she was told not to eat of the tree. In that moment, she faced the same choice that we face every day. Do I live according to God's truth? Believe in what he said? Believe that he is who he says he is? Or do I take this other explanation, which is a lie, but it's comforting a little bit, and I like it a little bit? Makes sense to me a little bit. Satan's goal is to get you to believe a lie, and in so doing so, prevent you from living according to God's truth. Prevent you from forming healthy, deep, abiding roots in Christ. This is his tactic. This is how he's going to come at you. In fact, when we're dealing with the students, a lot of the times I'm asking the Lord to help me understand what lie are they believing? What lie are they believing? So we can get in there and figure out how we can fight this with truth. So the question we ask ourselves when we're looking at our roots, whether or not they're healthy, we ask the Lord, what lie am I believing right now? Not just ask yourself. I think sometimes we can even deceive our own selves. It's like, you know, that's okay. That's fine. That makes sense. But asking the Lord, what lie am I believing? Satan's goal is to prevent you from living according to God's truth and eventually uprooting you from Christ Jesus altogether. Stunting the root growth, killing the root growth, pulling you up, and removing you from Christ. This is the fight that we fight. Let's turn to 1 Kings 19. How many of you guys know the prophet Elijah? Yeah? Elijah? Ring a bell? Students, do you guys know Elijah? A little bit. What about Elisha? A little bit? Okay. Well, we're going to be reading in 1 Kings 19, but I want to give you a little bit of backstory to what's going on, because in this moment in 1 Kings 19, Elijah is in the process of fleeing Jezebel. We all know that name. Ugh, Jezebel. He's in the process of fleeing Jezebel. But prior to this, there's King Ahab, there's Jezebel, and prior to this, God uses Elijah to declare a drought on the land. Declares a drought on the land. And of course, Ahab is not happy about this. So he's out to find Elijah. Where is Elijah? On the process of Elijah going about and doing his thing, he comes across a widow, and the Lord says, go to this widow, and I'm going to feed you there. And so Elijah goes to the widow and says, feed me. And the widow says, well, I only have enough for me and my son. In fact, we are going to have our last meal in preparation to die. And it says, he says, feed me, and God's going to provide for you. Feed me, God's going to provide for you. She chooses in that moment to believe the truth of God. She chooses in that moment to have faith in God. And in fact, God does provide for her many times over. In fact, her jar of flour and her jar of oil do not run out. So he has this incredible experience. And then, you know, King Ahab is sending people everywhere to find Elijah. Find me Elijah right now. We need to end this drought. It's so funny, and I'm sure there's some depth in here, and I'm sure that this portion of Scripture will preach, but it's funny that Elijah declares it under the power of God, and to end the drought, this Baal-worshipping Ahab is trying to track down Elijah to get his God to end the drought. Kind of funny. A little bit comical. That's a brief read, right? No read. I didn't actually study that part. Just popped in my head. You can edit that out, Mike. Thanks. So Ahab going to find Elijah, and then Elijah then presents himself to King Ahab. He says, we're going to end this drought, but first we're going to have a battle of the gods. My God versus your God. God versus Baal. Bring your prophets over. We're going to set up this bowl here, and I'm going to set up a bowl over here and cut it in half. You guys do whatever you need to do, and I'll do what I need to do. But the God who ignites the offering is the true God. And so, of course, the prophets of Baal are over there cutting themselves, being all sorts of crazy and all this stuff. And Elijah's over there being, he's probably one of the students' favorite prophets in the Bible because he's over there just trolling them the whole time. I'm using trolling. He's over there, using their lingo. He's over there trolling them the whole time. He's over there, I'm stuck in trolling land, mocking them. He's over there mocking them the whole time. Oh, maybe your God's gone to the bathroom. Maybe he's asleep doing all this stuff, mad roasting them. And yeah, mad roasting. I know, subtitle. Sorry, guys. Students, Elijah was mad roasting these prophets, okay? He's over there, and he eventually, them all day doing this, he says, enough, enough. And he says, now it's my God's turn. And he commands them, further mocking, further trolling, further roasting. He says, okay, now grab these jars, fill them up with water, just dump them on the offering. Just dump them. Yeah, jars. Huge, these huge jars. Dump them on the offering. Soak the thing out. Soak it. And so they do. And then, well, if you guys have read the story, what happens is God consumes the whole area. Just gone. In this amazing act of power, gone. Unequivocal decision. Our God is the true God. And then he goes, Elijah goes, and he kills the prophets of Baal. Now Ahab, and then he goes, and there's just other process events, and then the drought eventually ends. It ends. Queen Jezebel, not happy about all this. Not happy one bit. And this is where we find Elijah running from Jezebel. In these amazing encounters with God he has, this amazing prophet of God he is, and then he's fleeing from Jezebel, and this is where we see him. We're starting in chapter 19, verse 4. I am going to read for a little bit. He says this, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, that's Elijah, and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked the Lord that he might die, saying, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. An angel of the Lord came, touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a head of cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank, and strength and went in strength of that food 40 days. Oh my gosh. And 40 nights in Hebron to the Mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left. And I, even I only, am left. They seek my life to take it away. God said to him, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of low whispers. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him, and he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for you, Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." The Lord gives them a command to return to Damascus. We're going to jump all the way down to verse 16 where he addresses the I, even only I. And in verse 18, he says, "Yet I will leave," this is God speaking, "yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." Elijah came to this point where he believed that he was the only one left. I, the only one left. Satan got him to believe a lie. And God comes in with the truth and says, "No, I have raised for myself not just one more of you, not just two more of you. I have raised up, there are 7,000 that have not bowed a knee to Baal, that have not kissed him. And I call them mine." You're wondering, how does this prophet, this great man of God, go from doing these miraculous things, being the hand of God, God proving himself in this moment, and then he gets to this point where he wants to die. He just wants to end it all. It's because he got in a place where he believed a lie. One lie. And Satan was going to use that, and Satan was going to keep jabbing with that one lie until he gave up, and the Lord and Elijah, still obeying the Lord, being obedient to the Lord's voice, the Lord showed him the truth. It's in this moment, too, that the Lord shows him not only just, it's not just that you're not alone. Not only are you not alone, but I'm gonna continue to use you to wipe out these people that have been oppressing, and then I am also going to raise up the one to follow after you, Elisha. And Elisha comes. This is where we first kind of hear about Elisha. Satan works in lies. He will lie to you about God. He will lie to you about you. He will lie to you about others. He will lie to you about what God thinks of you. He will lie to you about your future. He will lie to you about better ways than Jesus. Because the enemy knows that the enemy knows the threat of deep roots in Christ. He knows the threat of healthy roots in Christ. Healthy roots in Christ mean great fruits. Great fruits come from healthy roots, so he attacks you at the roots. And the way that he uproots you is by getting you to live your life by any other means than God's truth alone. And we know this from Adam and Eve. We know this through several instances throughout Scripture. It only takes one lie. So we must be a people, and we must be a people who live according to God's truth. Let's read this, 2 Corinthians 2:11. "So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." We're not ignorant of how he's going to attack. We're not ignorant of his strategy. We know that he attacks with lies. We know this not just so that we can know it, but so that we can defend against it. Amen? A people who defend against it, protecting our roots. And we protect our roots with such passion because we know that it's in Christ alone that we thrive. It's in Christ alone that we receive life. So we protect them. We know the enemy works. We know how the enemy works and must actively fight against this strategy. There's two things we need to understand this morning. There are things we can do to encourage healthy, deep roots. There are also things that we can do to discourage healthy, deep roots, even as a Christian. I want to know what my roots look like. That's what God's looking at. What are your roots doing? First, where are they? And if they're in Christ, are they healthy? Are they diving down or are they shallow? Ready to just be pulled up quickly. There's two things we can do to help us live according to God's truth. And I narrowed it down to these two. Two E's for you, okay? I made it easy. Two E's, easy. Yeah. You guys ready?
Yeah.
First thing we do is enter God's truth. Enter God's truth. We are rooted in Christ. Our familiarity with truth starts with Him and grows as we walk with Him, as He is the truth. We must be seeking truth daily, and it's a highlight on truth. Seeking truth daily, not comfort and ease. I don't say this to be like, oh, wow, that's... Truth, in some ways, has made my life physically more difficult. Physically more exhausting, right? And sometimes my family hears about that exhaustion. I am exhausted. Why are you exhausted? I'm choosing to live according to God's truth. Not complaining about it. I'm just saying I'm tired. I'm tired. And the Lord says, well, I'm going to provide for you, and I believe that. But we as His church, if we are going to be able to withstand attack, and believe me, attack is here, we must be a people that seek truth above anything else. Daily finding truth and rooted in truth, not comfort and ease. Rooted in Christ means... Sorry, I lost myself. As we walk with Christ, there is a constant teaching going on. Rooted in Christ means that our understanding of the world around us is coming from Him. Every time He shows us what is true and what isn't, we have the option of recoiling from that, choosing comfort or ease, or diving deeper and living according to God's truth. I'm reminded of the man Jesus talks about. Two different men. He says, there's the man who takes my words and lives by them. I'm teaching you truth. Are you going to live by them? If so, you're planted your house on a solid rock, walking Christ rooted and built up. And then the man who doesn't, hears the words, knows where to find truth, heard the truth, and doesn't, builds his house on sand, not able to withstand attack. Entering truth develops healthy roots by going just beyond knowing what Scripture says, but living according to what Scripture says, according to God's truth that Jesus teaches us as we walk with Him. And yes, Scripture reading and Bible study are a crucial part of this. Going deeper. Every time I sit down Tuesday night study, the Lord reminds me of two things. How little I know, and that He is the one that equips me to do what He's put before me. And I'm blessed by those two things every time. But every time I sit down Tuesday night Bible study, I'm like, man, this goes deeper and deeper and deeper. How many times have I read Romans and not picked up on any of that? Took us, what, 4 weeks to get through one chapter? 5 weeks to get through one chapter? There's so much depth to it. There's so much truth in there for us to live by. Entering God's truth means bringing our goals in line with God's truth. Bringing our goals in line with God's truth. Today, it's simple for us to lay out what we want and the world to pump out a version of truth for us to live by. You want a car, you want health, you want wealth, you want security, you want to be accepted, you want to be loved, you want to be stress-free. Well, God has a way of achieving those, and the world has a way of achieving those. We must line our goals up with His truth. God's truth often won't meet our comfort criteria, and will require us to pull ourselves in line to walk with Him. God will give you life. He will bring you fulfillment and satisfaction. For some, He will bring wealth, and for others, He will bring health. But the goal is for those things to come out of a walk with Christ. Does this make sense? We want those things out of a walk with Christ. Because comfort and ease is not our goal. Our goal is to be children of God, light in a dark world. Our goal is souls. Our goal is fruits, not comfort and ease. There will be moments where God gives you comfort and ease. He blesses you with that. And you're going to find comfort and ease that comes out of life chasing after God's goals are way better than if they were to come from anywhere else. It's the only way they will be truly satisfying and life-giving is if they come from God. So that's our first one. How do I live according to God's truth? Enter God's truth. Next E, last E. Express God's truth. Express God's truth. Here's the definition of express. To convey in words or by gesture and conduct. To express God's truth. When we live according to God's truth, we further root ourselves in Christ and live off the life He offers. When we express God's truth, it's as if we are recommitting, reaffirming our original commitment to truth found in Christ. Every time we express it, whatever that expression may be, I want to express God's truth. Remember that definition, to convey in words or by gesture and conduct. So I'm going to live my life in such a way that it expresses God's truth. I'm going to worship in such a way that it expresses God's truth. Our songs this morning, This I Believe, it's not just a cute little song. It's an expression of God's truth. And every time we express it, every time we actually take that in as a commitment to Christ, what we're actually doing is we're giving our roots the nutrients they need to grow and to be healthy. When we express God's truth, we are recommitting and reaffirming our original commitment to truth found in Christ. Every time we decide to continue to walk in Him, walk His way, we strengthen and deepen our roots in Him. We express God's roots, we express God's truth even when we don't want to. Whether you don't want to because of comfort, whether you don't want to because of fear, whether you don't want to because of a lack of understanding, actions based on our believing that God is who He says He is, and He's going to do the things He said He would, when we express God's truth, despite any of the other circumstances around us, we deepen our roots and allow them to be healthy, however you want to say that. And we deny a foothold for Satan's lies. Every time we worship, I take every moment when I'm back behind the drums, sometimes I can't, but to actually sing. Because I am declaring these truths. And in myself, I'm reaffirming this is where I stand, this is where I'm at, this is where truth is, and I'm above all, I'm denying Satan a foothold. I'm denying his lies a foothold in my life. I'm denying him access to my roots. What do you think about this? Matthew 4, Jesus goes through this temptation. Satan comes and tempts him. Three temptations, and every time Jesus says this, he expresses God's truth. He says, "It is written." Satan comes out with a temptation. He says, "It is written." Satan comes out with another temptation. He says, "It is written." An expression of God's truth, both vocally in words, but also in gesture and conduct. This is where I am. Not only am I going to enter God's truth and know what it is, but I'm going to express God's truth in my life every opportunity given. Amen? There's a need for a church that doesn't just know of Jesus, that doesn't know where to find Jesus, just where to find Jesus, but have deep, healthy roots in him. There's a need for a church that's ready for the long haul. There's a need for a church that's ready for the strong attack. There's a need for a church that is ready to stand in the midst of the storm. A church who knows the strategy of the enemy is to lie to us and ultimately uproot us from Christ, and a church that fights back. A church that enters God's truth and expresses God's truth. Amen? And I ask worship team to jump up. God is calling his people. Jump up. Sorry. I'm giving the worship team a little bit of a head start. I asked us in the beginning, are we vulnerable to attack? Am I, Lord, vulnerable to attack? And so I want us to leave. This is where we're starting. Next week, I think I'm going to continue off of this. This is kind of a starting point for us. But I came into this asking the Lord this, and I believe this is what the Lord is calling us to do, is to ask him, Lord, am I vulnerable to attack? Am I vulnerable to attack? How healthy are my roots? Examine them, Lord. Reveal to me what is going on. God is calling us to be a people of his truth. Not a good-looking people. Not a people that look just great and beautiful on the surface, or try to be, but a people with healthy, developed roots. Amen? Let's pray. Let's worship the Lord together. And I want to pray with you. If this is just hitting home, let's pray. If there's some other thing on your mind this morning, let's pray. We want to go to the foot of the Lord together with you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the morning that we get to soak in your word. This morning as a body, Father, we approach you and ask, are we vulnerable to attack? Examine our roots. Remind us, Lord, this week as we go about walking with you, that we go rooted and built up. We're going to wake up tomorrow rooted. We're going to lunch this afternoon rooted. We're having conversations and making friends and enjoying this life that you've given us rooted in you. I ask, Father, that you help us to develop healthy roots by living according to your truth. Thank you, Father. We praise you, we worship you. As a body, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.